Today we're starting a brand new series called Cross Examination. And we're leading up to the cross of Jesus Christ. But how many know it ends with a powerful resurrection? Come on, amen. Powerful resurrection. But I want you to go into your Bible with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and there's a powerful, powerful truth here. The Apostle Paul is dealing, he's dealing with the Galatian church and these Judaizers that are telling them that the cross of Jesus Christ and his death was not enough. And so I want you to check this out with me. I want you to look at this. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. He says this, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross," look at this, "my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." Something happens when you allow Jesus Christ, the crucified one, to get in you. He says, it doesn't matter whether you have been circumcised or not. That's what these Judaizers were telling these new followers in Jesus. You've got to be circumcised. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. It's not just about salvation. It's about what we're going through right now as a nation. It's about what you're going through right now with your son, your daughter, your marriage. He says, when you understand what Jesus did on the cross, if you'll live by that principle, that's Jesus and the cross and nothing else, he says you will not only have God's mercy, but you'll live in peace. Why? They are the new people of God. I like to tell people this, I'm not what I ought to be, but I sure ain't what I used to be. Now, that's horrible English. No, none of y'all take that, okay? That's bad English, but that's good preaching, right, everybody? If you'll start living in the power of the cross, you'll understand this. Here's my concern. In Christianity, what Jesus satisfied and gained at the cross is the main thing of the Jesus follower's life. I'm going to say that for a moment. You have to understand that you have to grab a hold of what Jesus on the cross did. It is the main thing of the gospel. Now, I know there's a lot of liberal theologians out there saying you can go find a lot of different ways to God. I know there's a lot of people saying that the blood of Jesus it's not adequate enough. I'm telling you that it's the main thing. Because without Jesus and the cross, you got to get this, without Jesus and this cross, let me tell you what begins to happen. There is no victory, there is no power, there's no freedom, there's no authority, there's no victory, there's no eternal life, there's no hope, there's no peace, there is nothing if you extract Jesus and the cross. But if you live in the principle of Jesus and the cross, can I tell you something what happens? You have victory. You have forgiveness. You have authority. You have eternal life. You have peace in the middle of chaos if you live in the power of the cross. Now, everybody's attuned to this. Christians are really attuned to this, you know, as we're walking into Easter. Everybody's, oh, the cross. But here's what we do. We put it in the context. Oh, Jesus died and he rose from the dead. I get a pass card to go into heaven. And then after we get past Easter, they forget about this. Could this be the reason why so many of us believers are struggling in our constant addictions that we want free from? Could it be that's the reason why we're still angry at the last church you went to? Could this be the reason why on the job as a Christian you still can't forgive someone in your family? Could it be because what happens is once we get past the context of Easter, we forget the power of the cross. So here's what we're left with. You go to church. You might show up once a month now. And now it's merely an empty religion. A religion. Paul says to those Galatians, here's what's happening to you. He says, what's happening to you is you're doing the same thing. You knew the power of the cross, but now you're allowing these Judaizers, and I'll explain what that is in just a moment, to tell you that the cross wasn't enough and that you got to keep adding more stuff, and now they're living in a dead religion and they have totally forgotten what Jesus did. I'm telling you, the cross has to be the main thing if you're going to be a Jesus follower. What he did has to be the main thing. And so we're going to examine the cross over the next few weeks, this cross-examination. So here's what Paul's saying. Here's the first thing he's saying. The first thing he's saying is you got to have the priority of the cross. Now, when I say the priority of the cross, what I'm telling you is the cross is a non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. Listen closely to what I'm telling you. Any person that tells you that you can have heaven without Jesus and the cross is not telling you the truth. You have to have the priority of the cross. In fact, Paul is saying the same thing to those Galatians because now they're minimizing the blood of Jesus. They're minimizing the crucifixion, so therefore they minimize their own power and their own eternity. He says, you've got to keep it as a non-negotiable what Jesus did on the cross. So let's look at Galatians 6:12, what he said to them. He says, those who are trying to force you to be circumcised, okay, this is the act of those men being circumcised, want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone, look at this, underline it, circle it, the cross of Christ alone can save. Not your good works, not that you give money to the poor, not that you didn't cuss the lady out who cut in the line in front of you at 15 items and she had 16 and you held your mouth and so God's going to let you in because you were a good boy. Not because you did everything right and you went to church today. He's saying the only thing that can save you is the main thing. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. So here's what Paul's saying. Now, Paul was pretty bright. He was an intellect. Paul could argue the law. He was outstanding. You want to talk about a guy that kept rules as a Pharisee, as a teacher of the law, kept all the rules. So he thinks, I can get in. But he says, I'm telling you. He says, all of these things that I've attained, I count it as dung. Why? Because compared to what the cross did for me, everything is a heap, steaming pile of dung. Right? That's what he's saying. So here's what he's saying. The cross is the centrality of my life. Everything revolves around what Jesus did on the cross. That's what he's saying. Everything revolves around it. So what is he saying? It means that my very existence is based on what Jesus did on the cross. He's saying even my whole purpose in life is based on my existence of Christ. In fact, he says my identity, because the moment I followed Jesus, he was persecuted. They killed him. And he says now these other people don't want to be persecuted because of what I did, because I'm telling you, everything else, those works, it's not going to get you in. It's the cross is primary. It's what he's telling me. He says my whole hope and my identity is based on this one thing. He's telling them it's the priority of the cross. So this is why he said in Galatians 2:20 to those Galatians, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's what he's saying. Bottom line, if you don't have the cross, you don't have nothing. You can have great forms of religion. You can be a good person. You can be an honest businessman. You can go be a mentor to kids. But he says, if you don't have the cross, you're not in. He said, it's your whole identity. He says, you have nothing and you are nothing. The cross is center. You say, well, that's pretty dogmatic. No, it's not just dogmatic. It's bulldog dogmatic. Let me put it to you another point. So if we're not going to say that Jesus is the only way, if we're not going to say this cross is the center point, then if we're going to live by that kind of principle, why don't we just do it across the board? Why don't we just do that? How about we do it with football? Let's do that. So if the cross isn't going to be the central thing of Christianity, how about we not make the football the center of football games? Because in football, the football determines everything. The first down, okay, sportsman, the first down is determined by where the football is placed. If there's no football, there's no football game. Okay? Touchdowns aren't determined. They're only determined if the ball crosses the plane. If the guy just jumps across the plane without a football, it don't mean nothing. It means you are being paid way too much for what you do. Fumbles. No. If you're going to do it with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the cross, let's do it with your football game. Let's just do it across the board. Let's be honest about it then. So fumbles are going to be determined by who grabs the football. Field goals are determined if the football goes through the uprights. If it doesn't go through that bright, it's not a field goal. See, what I'm trying to tell you is those 11 guys on each team get paid a lot of money to fight for the football. And when they get the football, they rejoice that they get the football. Are you understanding? They strive to possess the football. In other words, if the football is missing, you don't have a football game. If the football is missing, we built the big house for nothing. Don't drive to Ann Arbor just to go sit in the big old empty place. The stadium doesn't mean nothing. There are no fans without the football. There are no concessions for you to eat 15 hot dogs that day. There are no concessions. Do you understand? Everything goes away if you take the centrality of football, the football out of it, you have it. Listen, in football, the football is the main thing. And in your Christian life, you got to make the cross of Jesus Christ the main thing, not just on Easter, not just before Easter, but every day of your life. It is the way you win the game of life. That's why Paul says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. So when you hear us singing here, you see us showing up here today, there's only one reason why we're here. There's only one reason why you're rejoicing. It's because of the cross of Jesus Christ. He set me free. There's nothing else I could do. He paid it all for me. Why? Because Jesus and the cross is the main thing. Oh, my goodness. Can y'all feel that at home? I can sure feel it up here. Amen. Okay, so you got to understand, it's the priority. That's why we got to do cross-examination. Too many of us are only examining it around Easter time. So here's what Paul says. If you understand what happened on the cross, if you get this what happened on the cross, what he did, Jesus, God with skin on, dying, being crucified, slaughtered on the cross for you. He says, then what it takes care of is how you are positioned in the cross. See, once you understand the centrality of it, then you understand that now I am positioned with God because of that cross. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the reason Jesus did it, it's because he wants you. He wants you. What does he want? He just wants a relationship with you. If you take, listen, if you take the power of the cross out, then you take out your position with God. And what you end up getting is religion without a relationship with God. You start driving yourself, working yourself. I got to be at church. I got to pray. I got to read. No. Those are all good things. I'm going to cover that in just a moment. But he says what the cross does, he puts you in position with God. And what these Galatians were, what was happening to these Christians, they were being told that you got to do more to get your position because the cross wasn't enough. Let's come on, go with me. Galatians chapter 3. Let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 1, and then we'll read verse 3. Come on, check this out. Oh, and Paul. Paul was not as sweet as I am. I'm much gentler. Oh, foolish Galatians. How would you like if this morning I called you and said, y'all bunch of fools? What if I did that to you? I wouldn't dare do that. I'll let Paul say that to us. He's, oh, foolish Galatians. Now watch this. Who has cast an evil, not just a spell, an evil spell on you? So if he's going to invoke the word evil spell, then I can tell you that people who want to make works the reasons why you get saved are actually being used by Satan to make Jesus and the cross less than best for your life. He says, who cast this evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death, watch this, was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. He's saying, it was so explained to you that it was like you were really there. You got it in HD spiritually, what Jesus did for you. His brutal slaughter for your sins. And nothing you could do could change your life, only what he did on the cross for you. Look at verse 3. He does again. How foolish can you be? How foolish can you be? You see, my mama taught me not to call anybody a fool, but she taught me how to recognize one when I see one. And Paul is telling me, Sam, you're being a fool. He says, after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, he said, you're born again. He's talking to those of us that are in the house of God that calls ourselves Jesus followers. He says, after you starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Don't you understand you are positioned by the power of the slaughter of Jesus Christ on the cross, and now you minimize it? So here's what I'm telling you. Don't let religion replace the cross. Because here's what happened. What these Judaizers tried to do was they were sabotaging the message of the cross, just like people are trying to do. They're trying to do right now, to the gospel. They're trying to sabotage the message of Jesus Christ by pressuring these new Jesus followers. They were trying to get them to revert back to Old Testament external observances, which were symbolizing something greater or someone greater who would come. Are you watching this? The Old Testament was merely a picture, a symbol of the reality of something that would come later, and his name was Jesus. And one of the chief observances the males had was to be circumcised. Now, circumcision was a cutting away of the man's flesh, which identified them in the Old Testament as the covenant people of God. Now, watch that. But circumcision, what it means to be cut away or to be set apart. That's what, that it was a picture in the Old Testament of what God wanted for his people. That you're not like the other nations who go into pagan practices. You're not like those that just dispose of their children in fires and furnaces to be burnt to God, pagan gods. You're not involved in all the sexual. You're not living in the world in immorality or debauchery. He says, you are my people who I have blessed. And the cutting of the flesh was a symbol in the Old Testament that you are set apart. You are different above all other people. So when Jesus came, what was it talking about? It was that Jesus, through the cross, cuts us away from sin and the hold of Satan in our life. It was the picture that Jesus would come. We are no longer hostage. We are no longer prisoners of Satan. We are now the children of the Most High God, not by what we have done, but by Jesus cutting us free by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. All right? So the Judaizers, what they were doing was they had religious rules, but not a relationship with Jesus Christ. So now they're telling these people, you got to keep, this is what you got to do to really have position and relationship with God. And Paul says, they're lying to you. There's not a human thing you can do to gain God's forgiveness, eternal life, relationship, only by accepting what Jesus did to set you apart. So listen, here's what I'm telling you. Focus on your relationship with God. Because religion is anything you do for God that does not stem out of a heart connected with God. Listen, religious activities, if you don't watch it, can actually sever you from the real intimate relationship that God wants for you. The real strength he wants to give you, the real identity, the real security in who you are. It can actually sever that relationship when you get so bound by works. You say, well, should I not do works? No, here's the deal. You see that? See that young lady up there? I don't care. If there's a corona, I'm going to kiss her. It'd be this woman right over here, that woman right there, Pastor Brenda. Yeah, raise your hands, baby. Then we need to see who you are. I want to serve this lady. It's not a pain for me to get up and get her a cup of coffee in the morning. It's not a pain for me to say, how can I help you? Do you know why? Because I have an intimate relationship with this woman, and my service is not done because there's a piece of paper what people think is a contract. It's a covenant relationship when I married her because of the depth of the intimacy. It is with God. He said, here's the same way. I want you to see, God says, how much I loved you by dying on that cross for you when you didn't deserve it, but I reached out to you in love and relationship, and as a result of understanding the magnitude of what he did on the cross, my service starts coming out of the understanding of the depth of his love and what he gave me that I could not give myself. So I don't show up to church because I have to. I don't read the word because I have to. I want to read the word because I'm getting a deeper revelation of who he is and his relationship with me. The reason I serve is I'm saying, God, I got to do something. You have done so much for me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When I worship God, I'm not worshiping God to get everybody charged up. I'm worshiping God because I'm blown away by what he did at the cross. Did he give me position, eternal life, and purpose? And it blows my mind. And out of that comes the depth of that. But if you don't get that, guess what happens? You start making what I do. Well, did you see them? They didn't put anything in the offering plate when it went by. You're bound by a spirit of religion. I wish I could be as spiritual as me. No, no, no. Exemplify your love relationship for God and watch people grow out of it. Don't be defined by what you do, but by who you are in Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Don't be defined by what you do, but by who you are in Jesus Christ. And that's what these Galatians were doing, and that's what we can do if we don't watch it. How many of you have ever done a research paper before, okay? Done a research paper, getting hives, just thinking about it. Remember those days? And so the instructor said, do a research paper, okay? So you knew that to get the grade to pass the class, you had to do what? You had to go get due diligence. You had to go collect the material. You had to analyze the arguments for your research paper. You had to make sure all the footnotes were in the right places, all the spacing, the margins were correct. They would mark you off on anything. So let's say you did everything right. You did all the research, the due diligence. You had all the arguments straight. You had everything absolutely perfect. And you get the paper back, and there's a big zero on it. You know you did everything right. There's a big zero on it. And right below the zero, it says, great work, great preparation, wrong assignment. Just think about that for a minute. It wasn't that you didn't do great works. It wasn't that you didn't do the right preparations. The problem was you did great work on a wrong assignment. So I'm telling you, there's a lot of Jesus followers right now that you're doing great assignments. Oh man, can you feed the poor? Whew. Boy, can you lace up people who aren't living it just right? Boy, I watch you light up on Facebook because they didn't sing that song right. It's not spiritual love. Reckless love. Who knows? God's not reckless. You just love to go to town. I'm not saying that you don't do great works. I'm not saying that you don't give offerings. But you're doing the wrong assignment. The wrong assignment if you have missed the unbelievable love of God for you to die on the cross when you didn't deserve it, I didn't deserve it. He lived the life we couldn't live, died the death we couldn't die, and he says, just take it, man, just take it by faith. And that's the reason why you see him telling to the people in Ephesus, the Ephesians, in Ephesians 2:8, he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It's a gift from God. Come on, can we all just right now, where we are, just start thanking God for our position with the Lord, the position with God, because of the goodness and the faith of God, the grace, the mercy of God. So get it right. Your assignments, those works come out of the deep love for God. Get the assignment right. So when you start doing that, you don't just get positioned. Okay, I'm coming in for a landing. I promise, I'm coming in for a landing. Because the moment you start getting that the priority of the cross is what I got to have, you can't skip it. It's the main thing, like football. And that now that I am positioned, not because of what I do, like they're circumcising, cutting off the flesh, and now you qualify. He said it's purely by what he did. Get the assignment right. He says then you can start functioning in the power of the cross that sets you at liberty and actually starts transforming who you are, starts changing your mindset of your own identity. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians. Look what he says to these early Christians in the church in Corinth. Look what he says to these Jesus followers. 1 Corinthians 1:18. He said, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. Now, I know unbelievers don't get this. Some of you are following, don't follow Jesus Christ, and you happen to be watching. Somebody told you to watch, and you're watching. And first you think, oh, this Christianity thing's a big crutch. No, no, no. It looks foolish to you. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Let me ask you something. What in your life are you wanting to change, but you haven't been able to change with your own self-will? Go ahead, write it down. Write it down. Your own identity. The constant insecurity, The anger for people that aren't your color? What is it? And you've been trying really hard. The person who divorced you? Maybe even the person who abused you. That constant gnawing addiction that you know the Holy Spirit, would you write it down? Because I need you to identify what it is. Is there some type of thing in your life that you say, if I could change it right now, I can't change it myself will. He said, those who keep pressing into the cross actually tap into the very power of God to be something they could never be on their own. And one of those things is the power over the flesh. I don't care who you are. I don't care what how strong a believer you are. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a pastor, preacher, plumber. I don't care who you are. I'm telling you, the flesh comes after everybody. The appetites of the flesh, the sin nature always wants to come back to us. And Paul says, I'm telling you, you want power over this, the stuff you can't handle? He says, it's directly related to you not connecting with Jesus on the cross every day of your life. Look at Galatians 6:14. Look at this. He says, because of that cross, look at this. He says, I'm going to only boast in the cross. That's it. I'm just going to talk about Jesus and his cross, what he did for me, positioned me. He says, because of that cross, my interest in this world has been killed, crucified. Something happened to him. And the world's interest in me has also died. He said, the things I used to love, the things I used to think were wonderful, aren't that wonderful to me anymore. And he said, the stuff that used to rule my life doesn't rule it anymore. Why? Because he says, I'm going to keep centering and keep reading and keep singing and keep fellowshipping with people because of what Jesus did on that cross. I'm going to find out everything he said he could do for me. See, what does that mean? To be spiritually crucified with Christ is what that means. That I am allowing something to die in me to be spiritually crucified with Christ. And Paul says there's two crucifixions. Jesus Christ, it's already done, and yours. And mine hadn't only been done, it's still being done every day. So what does this mean? To be crucified, what it really means is that when I'm singing songs about Jesus, when I'm talking in small groups, my friends are just having a cup of coffee, that's crucifying that stuff. They're challenging me. When I'm sitting here today with you and we're talking, it's challenging you. So what's happening is to be crucified means I am aligning myself up under what Jesus did on the cross and everything he said I could have, body, soul, mind, and spirit related to that cross. So what Christ does, the more I get connected to him, there becomes a disconnect between me and the things of the world that used to rule me. Those addictions, those appetites, those angers, those insecurity issues, the more I align myself, he creates this disconnect in me from those things, and the world loses its grip on my life. In fact, he said that's the reason why these Judaizers are doing it, because they're afraid they're going to be picked on, critical, people are going to stop giving them offerings if they go preach the truth about it. He said that's what's scaring them. He said, I don't care, because I already lost that appetite for money hold on me and anything else, and everybody's approval of me. He said, I've been cut off because I'm only concern about what Jesus did on the cross. Isn't that liberating? So when you align with the cross, here's what he does. He actually gives you the Holy Spirit that empowers you to change the things you cannot change in your own physical way, in your own self-identity. He gives you the power to actually do that, to cut free, be loose from that stuff. And how many right here, that's happened to you? When you got born again and you kept walking with Jesus, how many started thinking different? Come on, how about you? You started acting different. You started living different. You started loving differently. You started seeing other people different, and you even started viewing yourself different. You weren't beating up on yourself anymore. You said, wait a minute, I'm actually a child of God. You started viewing yourself totally different. Why? Because the power of the cross. See, the church in Galatia looked to their flesh instead of Christ's power. And so now they're trying to do more things, and they're just wearing themselves out. But when you align yourself daily with the power of the Holy Spirit through the cross, you start moving in a direction you hadn't been able to before. All right, let me ask you this. How many have a car? Just raise your hand right there on the screen and say, me. Got a car? That car has the power to get you somewhere, right? You own the car. You have access to the car. But can I tell you, you will get nowhere if you're sitting on the couch in the living room popping cheese balls and bonbons and say, you know, I really want to get to the store today. The problem is I can't get to the store until I align my body and get it up off the couch and go put myself in the car. Once I align myself with the car and I start doing things like reading the Bible, I mean the owner's manual, and I start learning how to start the car, how to put it in drive, I start learning these things about the power of what's in the car. Then when I align myself with the car and I get in it, then I can start moving toward things. When I start reading the owner's manual, and you open it up and you start looking at what's available to you in the power of that car, you start moving. It is the same way, and too many of us believers are trying to move in Jesus Christ outside of the cross and what his word says, what the worship says, what the fellowship says. It's all moving you through the power of the cross. And some of you don't believe me right now. You don't believe that you can walk in freedom. You don't believe it. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of us that can't believe we're now living in freedom and we're still getting greater freedom and we can't believe it. And that's exactly what Paul said. That's why he said in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He can't believe what's happening to him. He says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He says, in other words, I'm a walking dead man. Ma'am, you're a walking dead woman. He says, I have surrendered to the cross and everything related, the owner's manual, everything of the cross. And he says, I can't believe this. Now I'm walking this life in the power of Christ. And I've been crucified with Christ, but I'm dead, but I'm alive. And he's looking at himself saying, wait a minute, I'm Paul. I remember what I used to be. I used to be this person that was a real jerk. I was a person that, you know, used to sit there and keep all the rules. I was the person that murdered people and incarcerated them in prison. And I can't believe that God would forgive me by sending his son, Jesus Christ. And he said, no, wait a minute. He goes, wait a minute. I'm looking at me. Now that I'm following Jesus Christ, I'm sweeter than I used to be. Now that's me, but that's not me. Because me used to be this different way. And that's the way some of you are right now. You're looking at your husband since he's been following Jesus this whole year. Go, you know, you used to be, well, it's still you. You still got the same hair and you still got the same walk. It's you, but it's not you. Some of you are looking at yourself. I still got that quirky little personality. I still got that same goofy smile. I still got that receding hairline. It's me, but it's not me. I'm walking in victory. I've gotten over this addiction. I'm loving people. I'm involved in church. I can't believe that I'm feeding the poor. I can't believe that I'm more like Jesus. Wait a minute. I didn't do this 10 years ago. What is happening to me? It's because you have killed the flesh. You have been disconnected by the cross of Jesus Christ from the old nature, and now you're walking in the power of what God gave you through the cross. Come on. How many of you believe it's time to boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ? You're disconnected from the cross. You're disconnected from security in Jesus, your identity in Jesus, your purpose in Jesus. The more you don't think about the cross when you're singing, that's right, when we sing worship songs nowadays, I look for the content. Is the content about Jesus? Is the content about the cross? Is it about that? Does it point me to Jesus Christ? Because anything like that, I don't sit there and yeah over lyrics and whether there's lights or not, because I'm too busy needing to get a hold of what he did on the cross for me, because I know it's the only thing that set me free, it keeps me free, and keeps setting me free. Even this guy's been in it a long time. How about you and I start deciding that the cross has the final word? How about that?